From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
They said he would overwhelm this field, and he certainly has. Accelerate for John Sadler, and Joel Rosario gets his fourth. Accelerate in the Classic.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence.
Wonder Gadot's in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wonder Gadot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
A furlong to run in this wet Whitney. It is Diversify. Oh, and he's got a five-length lead here. Mind Your Biscuits and Discreet Lover will battle for second. Diversify has won the Whitney in style.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 34 days, 7 hours, 19 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships right here in the Bluegrass at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Going to be an amazing couple days of racing. And we are happy to have you with us this morning as we talk Breeders' Cup and Breeders' Cup Challenge. 10 Breeders' Cup Challenge races being contested this weekend. 8 of those will take place today. You have 3 at Belmont, 4 at Santa Anita, 1 at Newmarket in England. In total, 28 Breeders' Cup tickets are going to be punched over the course of the next 2 weekends, and it's going to be spectacular, and you're going to hear all that action right here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside my usual entry mate here on the program. You know him as legendary retired trainer Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude, a lot of different acronyms surrounding your name, JT.
A legend in my own mind.
Good morning, JT.
Good morning. How's it going?
Everything is good. Fired up for a lot of great sports action this weekend, with sports betting becoming more popular around the country in various states. That's good news to a lot of people. And a huge, huge weekend of horse racing. That's probably an understatement.
Yeah, some fantastic racing almost everywhere. It's really something I've been looking forward to all week. Actually been talking about it all week.
Yeah.
A lot of good races of Breeders' Cup preps abound. And we'll get a good line on some of these horses as they head towards that 38 days away now.
Have you already started your Breeders' Cup handicapping?
Well, in a loose fashion.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of know, you know, who I'm thinking about. But, I mean, there's so many things that can happen. You know, in the next couple of weeks, we got all the racing today. We got Fall Stars weekend at Keeneland. Mm-hmm. There'll be some other races, too, in New York. So, especially the younger horses. The older horses, I mean, we kind of know. We know Diversify.
Right.
We know Accelerate. We know West Coast. But the babies are still beginning to come out and develop. And, you know, we've seen some horses break their maiden in stakes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things to look at, and we have an extra juvenile race this year. So,
yeah, that's right too.
The baby situation is up in the air currently.
Yeah, and I guess for those types of races where you're talking about those juvenile 2-year-old races, it's probably a little bit easier to wait until at least the pre-entries come out, right? They'll take pre-entries, what, about 10 days or so before the actual Breeders' Cup?
Yeah.
I remember as a kid growing up in Western Massachusetts, that was one day I looked forward to, because the minute those pre-entries came out, the next day they would have the racing form on the shelves, and I would go get the racing form with all the pre-entries. And again, those are just pre-entries, so there were horses that were cross-entered, and you were trying to figure out where this horse might fit best, where they're going to go. But I would handicap every single horse in those pre-entries, so I was ready, depending on where they ended up going, I was ready to go either way. It was always a fun day for me, still is.
Yeah, you can get a lot of preliminary work done and, you know, start forming some opinions when the pre-entries come out, and then, you know, you're always looking at the last-minute works and how horses are training. That's one of the things that I like to do is watch the horses and see how they're going in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We'll get to do that this year because I'll be on the fence describing the training action
yeah,
early on
cool.
in our in our shows. So our lead-in shows. So yeah, it's a fun time of year. I love Breeders' Cup. I've been a huge fan since its inception, and I'm really looking forward to it this year. I think it's going to be outstanding.
Yeah, and returning to Churchill Downs for the first time since 2011. That always makes it special, as some of the biggest Breeders' Cup crowds that we've seen in the history of that event have come when they've come to Churchill Downs. I think as good as these races are going to be this weekend at Belmont and at Santa Anita, the races next week at Keeneland, and we're going to hear from Keeneland Racing Secretary Ben Huffman later in the first hour of this program this morning. The races at Keeneland next weekend are going to be off the charts good, because you're going to have horsemen that want to prep in those big races here and keep their horses in the bluegrass, either keep them at Keeneland or bring them right to Churchill Downs and start getting them ready for the Breeders' Cup. So those races next weekend at Keeneland, off the charts good.
Yeah, well, you know, we have the Lucas Classic tonight, and the other Chad Summers.
That's right.
Brought his horse early.
Yeah, he's been here for what, like a month?
Maybe not that long, a couple weeks maybe, but...
Mind Your Biscuits.
Mind Your Biscuits is here and getting ready, and then he's going to stay after that race, so he's going to have plenty of time at Churchill Downs. He'll be a local.
And pointing for the Breeders' Cup Classic, right?
Right.
For the Breeders' Cup Classic.
He has three choices.
That's an interesting decision in my book.
Yeah, he's got the sprint, obviously. He's got the...
Which he's one of the favorites in the sprint, no doubt. Maybe the favorite, right?
It's possible. Depending on how Imperial Hint runs today and all of that.
Yep.
But he certainly would be among the favorites. I mean, he's won the Golden Shaheen back-to-back years. Then there's the Dirt Mile,
yep,
which looks like that's going to be a salty race.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to John Sadler yesterday afternoon, and John talked about Catalina Cruiser, who's an outstanding horse. And you know, John, I've known John for 40 years, and he's very even keel guy. And Anthony brought up Catalina Cruiser yesterday, and John just... gushed about him.
Really?
Oh, he's training so good.
Read between the lines,
I
right?
Mean, well, you didn't need to read between the lines. You just had to be awake.
just listening.
Just yeah. I mean, he really thinks that horse is doing great, and he's a tremendous horse. I mean, he's a horse that is kind of flying under the radar a little bit. A lot of people don't know who he is. He's lightly raced, but he's won very impressively in his last two starts. So, you know, that he's going to be in the mile's going to be salty.
Yeah.
And then of course the classic is the classic. The question with Mind Your Biscuits is, can you get the mile and a quarter? But the way he ran at Saratoga, I don't see why he couldn't. And it looks like he's got a really good chance to win the Lucas Classic today. So, tonight, I guess it is.
Tonight, yeah.
10-10
racing
or 10
under the lights.
Yeah.
Must go lighting.
And he's got under the lights experience, right?
Yeah.
Winning the Golden Shaheen 2 years in a row. So yeah, he's an interesting horse, and we're gonna see a lot of different things coming up.
You mentioned John Sadler, some interviews that are posted on our website now. We'll encourage you to head there after 10 o'clock Eastern when we finish up this morning with the Equine Forum. But go take a listen to these interviews on our site. Jude and Anthony had a chance to talk with Mike McCarthy, Tom Morley, John Sadler, and some guy named Baffert. They talked with all of those folks this past week on Express Bet Radio, and those interviews are now posted on our website. So as soon as we're finished up here at 10 Eastern, head over there and check out those interviews and get ready for a massive day of racing in both New York and California. That's horseracingradio.net. Our coverage tonight begins 5 o'clock Eastern time. You're going to hear races from Belmont and from Santa Anita, 5 to 8:30 Eastern. You can listen on Sirius XM Channel 93. That's a different channel than you're tuned into right now. Sirius XM 93. And you can stream us, as always, wherever you may be, worldwide at horseracingradio.net. That coverage presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence and at Breeders' Cup. Should be an amazing show, and a lot of content coming your way in that program as well. All right, here's what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours this morning on the Equine Forum. You're going to hear from Maggie Wolfendale, who is the analyst at NYRA. She's going to tell you all about the big races in New York today. She'll join us in just about 5 minutes or so after our first commercial break. Ben Huffman, the racing secretary at both Churchill Downs and Keeneland, will look ahead to next weekend's Fall Stars weekend here in the Bluegrass. He'll come up right around 8:35. Sal Sinatra will be with us 9 o'clock Eastern. He joins us from the Maryland Jockey Club and another big day at Laurel. He'll tell you all about that. Six stakes races on the Saturday program at Laurel this afternoon. And Rick Hammerly, the racing secretary at Santa Anita, going to be with us toward the end of the program, 9:39 Eastern time. And kind of sandwiched in between all of that, our industry star of the week, which is presented by Stuart Morris, and our Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales, where Jude and I will take a look at tomorrow's Zenyatta Stakes out in California. So an awful lot of things to get to. Jude, we do have to throw out a poll question very quick, quickly before we get to that first break. And here's the poll question. I figured there's some new wagers that have come out, including the Stronach 5, which was launched with the debut of Santa Anita's meet. And so what I thought we would do in this program, by the way, presented in partnership with Keeneland Select. So I thought it'd be cool to throw out a wagering question here this morning. So here you go. Today's poll question, you can weigh in on our Twitter feed at HRN or Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, is this. What is your preferred way to bet? To bet a horse race, what is your preferred way to bet? And we'll give you a few choices. Do you like to play pick threes, pick fours, pick fives? Kind of lumped all those together. Exactas, tries, and supers. Win, place, or show. And then other is the final category. And if you choose that one, please let us know. But what's your preferred way to bet a horse race? Do it now at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and we'll go ahead and update those for you as we move throughout the show. All right, Maggie Wolfendale is coming up next. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Strategize, analyze, select. Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, free pass performances, live video, race replays, and more. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Join Keeneland Select today and earn a $150 sign-up bonus at KeenelandSelect.com. Dedicated to the sport and dedicated to the players.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Spendthrift Stallion Golden Sense, a record-setting three-time Grade 1 winner and best son of emerging top sire Into Mischief, a winner of the Santa Anita Derby at 3 and one of the most brilliant milers of his generation, becoming the first horse to win back-to-back Breeders' Cup miles. Golden Sense also set a Del Mar track record, winning the Grade 2 Pat O'Brien Stakes in 120.99. Golden Sense, standing at Spendthrift.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As they come to the top of the stretch, Diversified turns for home in front. Keen Eyes Pavel's going with him, too. The two of them are side by side coming to the furlong pole. They still have to catch Diversify. Hoots put to the whip. Diversify holding on to the lead. Keen Eyes on the outside and Pavel trying to run him down. Diversify digs in. Keen Eyes on the outside and Pavel can't get him. Diversify has won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. He has defeated Keen Eyes and Pavel. Good Samaritan was fourth in 2 minutes, 0.96 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us on this Win and You're In Saturday. Larry Colmus had the call of last year's Jockey Club Gold Cup, Diversify taking the field wire to wire that day. He'll look to do the same later this afternoon when he goes to the post, defending his title as the 4-5 morning line favorite. It is part of a massive day of Breeders' Cup prep action, both at Belmont Park and at Santa Anita. And to help us figure it all out is NYRA analyst Maggie Wolfendale-Morley. She's with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Maggie, welcome.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, good morning, and looking forward to seeing all the action up there today, but certainly looking forward to seeing New York bred Diversify strut his stuff, because when he's on his game, he's really, really good.
He's kind of a cool, almost, if you will, throwback horse, where Ivan Ortiz has finally figured out, I feel like we've come into this era of jockeys who always feel as though it's best to rate and to, you know, really kind of have a target. And you know, you go back and you watch races from yesteryear, and they were sending, and those horses responded. And Ivan Ortiz has figured out that Diversify is one of those horses that responds so well to the faster he goes, the better he becomes, and the harder he is to catch. And he really wants to just be up in the bridle. And really a great job by Rick Violet, as well as his assistant trainer, Melissa Cohen, to keep this horse in top form. He's a 5-year-old gelding, and his last two races have been absolutely sensational, which have been partnered with the fact that Irad has really figured him out now.
Is there anybody else in here, Maggie, that can put some pressure on him early and keep him company so he doesn't get out there to an easy lead and just walk to the finish line?
Well, obviously, there's Thunder Snow and Mendelsohn who do their best running when up front, but neither of them are fast enough. And it's not like Diversify has to carve out, quote-unquote, easy or soft fractions. He can go very fast and still have a lot left in the tank, and this is his home track. I mean, here at Belmont, he's never been worse than second, and he's won some of his best races here, including the Suburban. I mean, going a mile and a quarter into the three quarters in 109.3, that is flying, and he still wins by 6.5 lengths. He just is better when he goes that fast. And I just really don't think that Thunder Snow and Mendelsohn are going to be fast enough to stay with him. And nor do I think they have the talent in this kind of arena. They are horses. Look, Thunder Snow, he won the Dubai World Cup, speed dominating kind of track that day. And it was in his backyard, and Saeed Bensoor and Godolphin Racing. Saeed Bensoor is here, though, in New York, so that's always fun to see, and obviously speaks of his kind of confidence in his horse as well. And Mendelsohn, look, he ran well last time in the Travers, but this is his first start against older horses. And that race, too, with Catholic Boy, they both ran 1-2 around the racetrack. So I don't think he's gonna get the kind of comfortable type of setup that he had last time in the Travers.
Yeah, it's certainly not going to look like a turf race where the horses sitting second and third are going to have a nice hold and look for a big finish.
I mean, right, exactly.
you were talking about the faster he goes, the better he is. I mean, arguably the Suburban was the best race he's ever run, and on the Brisnet scale, he got 132 for that 109 and change fraction. Horses just don't run, you know, 132 for three quarters and then end up winning by 6.5. It just doesn't happen. That race was like an out-of-body experience. I mean, it was incredible. So I
know, it absolutely was. I was blown away, Jude, by that. And I didn't love him in the paddock. I kind of was eating humble pie after that race. But, you know, maybe it is a bit of a factor of the horses he was facing. But look, last time he faced Mind Your Biscuits, yeah, Mind Your Biscuits may have not loved a mile and an eighth, but he is a multiple graded stakes winner. And going back to Suburban, yeah, it may have been relative to the field he was facing, but still, to crush like that, I mean, it was more of a race for him against the clock than anything, and he destroyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we all have those friends that they don't even look good in a tuxedo, you know. So he's one of those horses. He's kind of a blue-collar horse. He doesn't really – not a lot of flash to him or anything, but he just goes out there and runs. I love him. I think he's fantastic.
I truly do, too. He's totally made me a Diversify fan this year.
Who's the most likely upsetter in the Jockey Club Gold Cup if Diversify were to stub his toe today, Maggie?
I know I'm kind of jumping on the bandwagon here, but Gronkowski. He's run his best race here at Belmont, going a mile and a half. I mean, I know it's a mile and a quarter here today, but if he does get any sort of pace to come back to him, which I'm not saying that will happen with Diversify, then he does feel like the horse that, you know, is a likely upsetter. I wouldn't even count Patch out of the mix. His two best races have come here at Belmont, going long. And you know, he's not that talented of a horse, but at least he's kind of got that horse for course kind of feel. And, I mean, third last, going back to the Belmont of last year, you know, why not? Why not kind of throw him in if anything comes back to anybody? I really don't feel as though, you know, the trackers, as you were saying, Jude, of Mendelsohn and Thundersnow are going to be at their best kind of sitting behind Diversify.
Well, as our friend Larry Colmus would say, Patch will have his eye on the prize today in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. With a one-eyed horse, Patch will have that one eye squarely focused on the finish line. We'll see if he can pull off a bit of a shocker later today. That's the Jockey Club Gold Cup. It is part of an afternoon that features four graded stakes races at Belmont. Three of those are grade ones, three win-in-your-in events. And we are joined by Maggie Wolfendale-Morley, who is the analyst at NYRA. Maggie, let's talk about the others. Let's talk about the Vosburg, which will go as race number seven. 4:09 Eastern. What are the main storylines to look for here?
Is there anything really to talk about? Isn't it a walkover for Imperial Hit?
You tell me, is it?
Yeah.
100%. 1-5 on the morning line. He just towers over this group, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's not like he needs the lead. It's not like he's compromised in any way as far as his running style. Now, maybe... the only thing I can say is that sometimes when we have a drying out track, which it's likely to be here today at Belmont, is sometimes that rail and speed become very dangerous. And in that case, maybe a horse like Still Crazy possesses a upset chance in here. But Imperial Hint is a grade one winner facing claimers in reality.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Still Crazy was just claimed for $32,000. I mean, if he beats Imperial Hint, it might be time for me to retire.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Maggie, maybe the Turf Classic is a little bit more, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic is a little bit more interesting then. Not a massive field here either. It's only a field of, what, eight horses set to go.
Eight.
How about that race?
Well, I mean, Todd has said that he will likely scratch High Happy, given the course condition. And look, we only have, you know, the Pilgrim Turf Classic and the sixth race on the turf here today. 1, 3, and 5 are off. It hasn't gotten a chance to dry out the entire month of September. So the likelihood that this will be listed as yielding is very high. And so Todd has said that High Happy will come out. So maybe you're only dealing with a field of seven. This is actually an interesting race. Maybe Robert Bruce just proves to be best. That could very well happen. But... and does Robert Bruce, we'll see if he gets better going a mile and a half. You know, for me, at least looking at him from the physical perspective, isn't a horse that automatically strikes you as one that a mile and a half is his ideal kind of distance. And it's not as if he's a kind of pace compromised horse either. I think he just runs his race no matter what. You have Teodoro, who's 15-1 on the morning line, making his first start in the States. And he actually had dinner with the owners last night, and he's going to lead. There's no question about it. He's going to be your pace setter. And, you know, on a course like this, that could be dangerous, a horse up on the front end. And then you have all those horses coming out of the store, Dancer, in which Glorious Empire ran extremely well, but it was the typical, you know, inner turf track up at Saratoga where speed is just lethal. And he took full advantage of that. Channel Maker, it's so funny watching that race back because what a juxtaposition of horses and the way they run. Glorious Empire is bounding along on the lead, head low, just striding out. And there's Channel Maker running like a giraffe. I think Channel Maker is obviously his worst enemy. A lot of times he runs with his head up in the air. Doesn't look like he ever wants to win. And in reality, does he really? I mean, he dead heated the one time he had full aim on Glorious Empire. So, in other words, I think we're dealing with maybe a little bit more of a fair scenario here at Belmont. And Spring Quality, he's run very well here at Belmont, too. And even I hate talking about Tom, my husband's horses, but Carrick, look, it's all about the distance with this horse. When he was kind of, and look, he developed very fast. When he was breathing before he even ran, he was doing most of his breathing down the backside after his, you know, timed workout from pole to pole. So the distance is really going to be his friend in here. And he's handled horses that have a little bit of give. I'm not sure about this much give. Guys, I honestly think I don't really have that strong of opinion in here. It could just be Robert Bruce's race to lose. Or you can make a case for any one of these horses.
Well, we had Tom on yesterday and talked to him for quite a while. He was a real fun interview, and I know he's pretty high on Carrick, and he makes a good point. I told him I feel like Carrick's the poor man's Justify. He's had a meteoric rise to stardom, only four races. Now he's, you know, trying to win his second grade one, and he certainly has a big chance to do it. I mean, Tom gave a very poignant case for Carrick to win. One of the main things is the given the ground, which he seems to love.
I know. You know, it's the given the ground, the only one that's really proven that absolutely loves it. I don't even know if you could say that, but that certainly handles it is possibly Sadler's Joy. But yeah, I mean, Carrick, what has he done to say that he doesn't? You know, three good listed races and he's undefeated on them.
Yeah.
Talking with Maggie Wolfendale-Morley here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence. Maggie, just a minute or two before we have to wrap this up and get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, but want to make a bit of an announcement here. We haven't talked about this on the program yet, but you are going to be joining our broadcast team for our exclusive Breeders' Cup coverage on November 2nd and 3rd. All of that race coverage only heard on radio here on the network, and we are really happy to have you as part of our broadcast team. It'll be a lot of fun to get you in the mix.
Oh, I'm so excited as well. You know, a lot of these horses, they prep in New York, and I'm very familiar with them. So I'll be very excited to kind of share whatever insight I can provide on your network.
And you are such a pro. You had your daughter, Grace, in the background during this interview.
Yeah,
about that. You were not the least bit distracted. That was outstanding. Well done.
Thank you. I just had to run to the TV and put Daniel Tiger on.
Mom tricks.
Exactly.
Well, Maggie, go enjoy the afternoon. Good luck with your selections today, and looking forward to catching up with you in a very short time here in the Bluegrass with all that Breeders' Cup coverage.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it so much, guys. Thank you for having me on today.
All right. Maggie Wolfendale-Morley. The wife of trainer Tom Morley, who, as you heard her say, has Carrick in this afternoon's Joe Hirsch Turf Classic at Belmont, trying to punch his ticket to the Breeders' Cup turf. He's a three-year-old son of Giants Causeway, taking on Older today. We'll see how he fares, but it should be an outstanding afternoon of thoroughbred racing. And again, our coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern, you will hear coverage of the Jockey Club Gold Cup and the Pilgrim, which is the race before that. We'll have the other two races, the Vosburgh and the Joe Hirsch, on tape delay later in that broadcast, and then we'll get you out to Santa Anita for all the action there. 5 to 8:30 Eastern, presented by Red Brand Fence later today. Sirius XM 93 is your home for that coverage. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. When we come back, we'll get a chance to look ahead to next weekend's Fall Stars weekend at Keeneland, opening weekend of that meet. We'll do that with Racing Secretary Ben Huffman. Stay with us. It's your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
All good things are worth waiting for was never better illustrated than when Alfred G. Vanderbilt's mare Geisha
dropped her one-month overdue foal on March 27, 1950. The newly arrived gray colt was by 1945 Preakness winner Polynesian and most fittingly was bemonikered Native Dancer. In an absolutely brilliant career, he won 20 of 22 races. He was endeared by the American public and affectionately referred to him as the Dancer or the Gray Ghost. Huge crowds surrounding the paddock when he raced, transfixed by the combination of a majestic bearing, icy calmness that he displayed before his races, and they rushed down to the rail to catch a glimpse of Native Dancer charging down the stretch to victory from way behind, eating up huge chunks of ground with his 29-foot stride. Native Dancer's reputation preceded him in his very first outing in April of his two-year-old season. He was sent postward a 7-5 favorite and sprinted off to a 4.5 length win and breaking his maiden. A bare 4 days later, he came back to roar to victory in the youthful stakes at odds of 4-5. Never in all the rest of his days on the racetrack did he ever go off at odds any higher. He suffered a shin injury in the youthful, but he returned to the races in superb form 4 months later at Saratoga in August. He found himself in the winner's circle in the next 7 races in a row, the highlight of that streak being equaling of the world record for 6.5 furlongs in the running of the Belmont Futurity. Ankle problems delayed his first start in his sophomore season until April at Aqueduct in the Gotham Stakes 2 weeks before the Derby. He won the Gotham by 2 and romped home in the Wood Memorial by 4.5 to thereby establish himself as the overwhelming favorite in the run for the Roses. But that early May day in 1953 was not to be his day, and the chart of that Derby tells the story. Chart caller's comment read like this: Native Dancer, roughed at the first turn by Money Broker, was eased back to secure racing room, raced wide in the run to the upper turn, saved ground entering the stretch and finished strongly, but could not overtake the winner, although probably the best. Unquote. Rider Eric Guerin blamed the roughing at the clubhouse turn for the loss. Others pointed to the suspiciously large ankles of Native Dancer. At any rate, all observers agreed that in one more stride, Dark Star's victory by a head would have been instead another victory for the Dancer. After 3 hard races in 3 weeks, conditioner Bill Winfrey may well have expected to give his spectacular gray charger respite from the racing wars, but the Dancer was shipped to New York, where he won the Withers, and on the very next weekend he was on hand in Baltimore to nail down the Preakness. That was 5 wins in 5 consecutive weekends. Well, he finally got a break before galloping off to score in the Belmont Stakes and followed that with 4 more consecutive wins. Soreness in his left forefoot prevented him from meeting the 4-year-old sensation Tom Fool in the prestigious fall handicaps, and as a result, Tom Fool was named Horse of the Year. Native Dancer continued having physical problems as a 4-year-old, going postward only 3 times, but he did win all 3. He scored in the Metropolitan and Oneonta handicaps, packing 137 pounds in the latter. They were so impressive, he was finally accorded unanimous Horse of the Year honors in 1954. Through his bloodline, Native Dancer was responsible for a raft of outstanding thoroughbreds: Kauai King, Majestic Prince, Raisin Native, Coastal, Affirmed, Exclusive Native, Genuine Risk, Ruffian, and one of the world's all-time influential sires, Northern Dancer. That, my friends, is the story of the Gray Ghost, truly a legend in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Welcome to Jimmy John's.
Hi, your new 9 grain wheat sub is so good. How do you make it?
With the highest quality ingredients and love. I mean, we definitely don't sing at lullabies when it's baking. Lullabies are what parents sing to babies.
Right.
And we don't use a baby carrier to carry the warm, fresh 9-grain wheat subs to the cooling racks. I mean, they're not babies. They're for making delicious sandwiches.
Okay. I'll take a turkey tom.
Oh, don't name them. It makes it harder.
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Ghost Sapper's best son, multiple grade one winner, Shaman Ghost, will stay in the 2019 breeding season at Edina Springs, Kentucky. A champion and winner of the $1 million Queens Plate at three, Shaman Ghost went on to capture historic grade ones on both coasts, catapulting him into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame in 2018.
Shaman Ghost! He has won the Woodward!
Midnight Storm leading halfway down the stretch in the big cap. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm!
Shaman Ghost was bred and raced by Frank Stronach and achieved repeated success at the highest level while earning more than $3.8 million in his career. Additional graded wins by Shaman Ghost include the Brooklyn Invitational, Marine Stakes, and Pimlico Special before defeating the likes of Keen Ice and California Chrome when second to Arrogate in the inaugural $16 million Pegasus World Cup. Shaman Ghost, backed by the strength of Medina, standing in Kentucky in 2019. And available for inspection now.
World Class Racing is back at Santa Anita, so be sure to join us early for a special 12 noon first post time on Saturday. We'll have four grade one win in your in Breeders' Cup Rep races as part of a 12 race program, and come early for our Hall of Fame jockey and trainer autograph session at 10:30. Horse players, sign up now at santaanita.com for our opening weekend $500 handicapping challenge. Again, special early first post time Saturday is at 12 noon, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Heard about the new 3E tractors from John Deere?
What's new?
New look, better maneuverability than those other color tractors, added conveniences like onboard diagnostics to make for an easier day, and all-around greater performance.
Well, sounds interesting.
They also have one of the lowest sticker prices in the industry.
Sounds like I'm in.
Just head to your John Deere dealer. I'm sure they'll take care of you.
Sounds like they already have.
Introducing the all-new 2018 John Deere 3E Series tractors. More functionality, same affordability.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence.
Clay Ken looks for an opening down toward the rail as they move off the far turn. Heart to heart, Miss Temple City. Bala Rocks is there. Clay Ken down toward the inside. Swagewa is getting involved here late. Devisa Darrow from far back. Heart to heart, chased by Bala Rocks, Miss Temple City. Swagewa there on the outside. Heart to heart, Bala Rocks. Swagewa gets up in the final jump to win the Shadwell Turf Mile for Danny Tudhope in 1:35.45.
Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kurt Becker with the call of the Shadwell Turf Mile at Keeneland. That was last October. Swagewa getting the victory over a very game Heart to Heart. They're expected to get a rematch next weekend in the Bluegrass, and we will be there with all that coverage Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, exclusively here on HRRN. So make sure you are tuned in. You can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete Fall Stars weekend schedule and all of that Fall Stars weekend coverage presented by our friends at Red Brand Fence. You just heard that ad during the commercial break for John Deere, and we want to remind you that if you are looking for new John Deere equipment, you can get an unbelievable equine discount right now by calling 866-678-4289. That's 866-678-4289. You can learn more about that equine discount of up to 28% off new John Deere equipment, from tractors and mowers to gators and haying equipment. It's all there. 28% discount by calling 866-678-4289. Well, Ben Huffman is going to be very busy over the course of the next several days. He has been busy for several weeks leading up to the Keeneland Fall Stars weekend and the October race meet. Again, it kicks off on Friday, and Ben is the racing secretary there. He's the racing secretary at Churchill Downs, where the Breeders' Cup will be contested this year, and he is with us now here on HRRN. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Jude.
How are you keeping all the balls up in the air?
Well, you just do it.
I think somebody's already got that slogan.
this is that time of year, and we're kind of used to it. And luckily, you know, luckily we have great racing officials at both Churchill Downs and Keeneland. So, you know, it's not all me. So it's a group of us. And that's the key is surround yourself with great racing officials. That's always helpful.
Nine Breeders' Cup Challenge races scheduled for the first 3 days of the Keeneland meet, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next weekend. And we heard the clip of Sway Dwois winning the Shadwell Turf Mile last year. Looking forward to that title defense, but there are three other defending champions that are scheduled to run next weekend, including Whitmore in the Phoenix, Miss Sunset in the TCA, and Bucaro in the Woodford, which is presented by Keeneland Select. So a massive weekend in the Bluegrass.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Mike. We're really excited. And anytime you can get, you know, the returning winners from any stake race, that's just one added bonus when they come back to defend their titles. I've always liked that angle. But just the overall picture, and it's still a work in progress, but these opening nine stakes, they're shaping up really good and really strong. And we still have a lot of our stakes coordinator, Allison DeLuca, she's got a lot of phone calls out. We haven't spoken to everybody. I mean, some of these nominations have 40 and 50 nominated. So, you know, it takes a while to get a hold of all the connections. But some of the information we're getting back, these races are shaping up to be really strong races and great betting races.
Yeah, I've been telling people for months about how great Fall Stars weekend is when the Breeders' Cup is at Churchill Downs. People come from all over the country to get their horses to Kentucky and use Keeneland as a springboard to those races at Churchill with the all-weather training track and the tremendous facilities at Keeneland. Everybody wants to be there and get their horses acclimated to the bizarre weather we have here.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's always Fall Stars weekend is always great, but it's extra special, I think, when the Breeders' Cup is at Churchill Downs.
Jude, I would agree with that 100%. I mean, Fall Stars weekend is always great, but just you know, the number of years I've been working at Keeneland Churchill Downs, you can tell a distinct difference when Breeders' Cup returns to Kentucky, whether it's Churchill Downs or Keeneland. Just the vibe is stronger. More people, you know, think about and consider and actually send their horses to Kentucky to like you said, acclimate and get some trips over these type services. And it does ramp up a little bit when the Breeders' Cup's in Kentucky. And it's an added bonus, no doubt about it.
Does it put more pressure on you as a racing secretary that you have to, you know, plan a special week during Breeders' Cup week?
You know, probably. I mean, I can't deny it. Yes, it does.
Doesn't it make your job a little easier, though, knowing that people do want to come here and prep here at Keeneland because the Breeders' Cup is in Kentucky?
Well, you know, everything the both of you just said is true in a couple of senses, but the pressure, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves because everybody's watching and, you know, Breeders' Cup, the whole, you know, the best in the world is coming to Kentucky. And, you know, that's exciting in itself, even for us racing officials. We've been doing this our whole lives, but when they all actually arrive, the best horses, the best trainers, the best jockeys, and prominent owners from all over the world, that's pressure in itself because, you know, we want to put on a good show and we want the surrounding cards and races to be strong and supportive. And so, yeah, there's always that pressure. But by and large, you know, it's going to work out just fine. And I wish it was here. I wish we were there now. We've been talking about it, you know, when the Breeders' Cup returns to Churchill or Keeneland. I mean, we're talking, you know, a year and a half, 2 year prep of talks, meetings, all sorts of things like that. So when it finally gets here, I like it. I'm, you know, kind of tired of talking about it. I want to see the great horses and the great races. It's so exciting when it's here in Kentucky.
I'm talking with Keeneland and Churchill Racing Secretary Ben Huffman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ben, outside of those four defending champions that we mentioned next weekend here at Keeneland, who are some of the other big names that you're hoping to get or we're hoping to see here at Keeneland on Fall Stars weekend?
Well, the race that just keeps jumping out to me is the Shadwell Turf Mile. Chad Brown, I think, is going to bring Almanar and Analyze It, the best three-year-old turf horse in the country. He's going to take on Olders and the Shadwell. And this time of year, I always think that's exciting. Bound for Nowhere, Divisadero, Heart to Heart's coming back. Voodoo Song won the Bernard Baruch in New York. The Shadwell's turning up really good. That's the one that keeps jumping out at me, but they're all very strong. Again, like I said, we're still gathering. We're still trying to contact these trainers and you know, garner some more runners. But we're getting there. We're getting there. But sometimes these horses and these connections won't decide until the actual day of entry. So these are works in progress, but they're shaping up really good.
You got a big night tonight at Churchill, too. You got a lot of Breeders' Cup horses running tonight.
That's true. The ACAC and the Lucas Classic, they both came up really good. The ACAC, you know, awesome slew, Giant Expectations. He supplemented and flew out from California. Warriors Club, Seeking the Souls in the ACAC. He won the Clark last year. And as far as the Lucas Classic, I mean, it starts with Mind Your Biscuits. What a runner he is. Honorable Duty, R-rated superstar, Toast in New York has flown in from England. So this is the next 2 weeks in Kentucky is really something with the quality of horse flesh we're all getting ready to see.
Ben, what was really the first year that you started as racing secretary at Keeneland?
Probably, I can't remember. It's been probably 2002 or 2003. Truthfully, I can't remember. It's been a long time.
What is it about Keeneland that just seems to make it so special?
Well, it's just the history and the prestige of Keeneland. And when anybody drives through the front gate at Keeneland, whether they're horse people or just fans or just visitors to the state of Kentucky, I can't tell you how many people talk about just the physical overall beauty of Keeneland and the grounds and the trees and the colors. And it's an iconic space. It's an iconic landmark. It really is. And you know, to be able to work there all these years, you know, it's a great honor. And it's really something, but that's the most that I hear from all walks of life.
Yeah, there's something about it that's just amazing. And unfortunately, to me, one of the prettiest things at Keeneland happens at the end of the meet, and a lot of people don't get to see it. But when those trees along the lane leading up to the clubhouse turn red, it looks like two dozen matchsticks on fire. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful sights, to me anyway, at any racetrack anywhere, maybe forgetting the racetrack part, just any place in the world. And it really is. I think Keeneland in the fall is even more beautiful than Keeneland in the spring.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said with that. And then to touch on the spring, what horsemen still talk about every year is especially the horses that are coming north up here from whether it's Florida or Louisiana or even Arkansas. As spring is just coming, late March, early April, and the grass is starting to take off, horsemen still talk about how a horse will get to Keeneland early spring, and they just start to blossom. If they weren't doing so great in another area, there's something about spring in Kentucky, and at Keeneland, these horses just turn around and they kind of blossom right before your eyes. Horsemen continue to tell that story, and I've been hearing that. I've been working at Keeneland for over 20 years, and that has not changed.
Well, Ben, it's not only a huge horse racing weekend here in the Bluegrass, it's a huge college football weekend, too. You have the Florida State Seminoles visiting the Louisville Cardinals, and then here in Lexington, you have the Cats taking on the South Carolina Gamecocks. Will your daughter be working the sidelines for UK again?
You know, I asked her that question last night, and she will not. It was not her rotation was the answer I got, and she was not happy about it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a big fan. My slogan that I live by is nothing good comes of deviation. And they pulled off the upset last week, beating Mississippi State when she was working the sidelines. I don't think I'd mess with that karma. I think she needs to be there.
I would agree. I would agree with that. But someone at the university's perhaps made a huge mistake by not inviting her.
Ben Huffman here on HRRN. Ben, really appreciate the visit. I know it's a busy morning for you. We'll let you get to it. And thanks for being with us. We look forward to catching up with you next week here at Keeneland.
Okay, guys. You're welcome. And thank the both of you very much. Good work.
Right. And Ben Huffman, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Huge, huge weekend next weekend here in the Bluegrass at Keeneland. A new Breeders' Cup prep, too. The Indian Summer Stakes, which is a win and you're in for the Juvenile Turf Sprint. And that's on the docket for October 7th.
Could we just have some nice weather?
Yeah, that would be. Huh? Yeah. The early forecast is for rain, too, right?
I don't know.
I looked ahead.
I don't even pay attention.
On my phone, though, but that's never accurate.
Yeah. Are they ever accurate? Good Lord.
I don't know.
I hope the weather people.
No, I'm wrong about that. Now my phone is now showing sunshine for Friday and Saturday. First 2 days. Actually, Sunday, too. So
etched in stone.
Yeah. There you go. You know how that works with my phone and the weather. It's not usually accurate.
Yeah. The AccuWeather forecast is a definite misnomer. That's for sure.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back. Our industry star of the week presented by Stuart Morris is in the next segment. Then we'll get you set for a very busy second half of the show. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic!
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
All right, we got a brand new wheat sub here. One grain bread. Do I hear any takers? One grain bread. All right, what about two grain bread? Let me get a taker for 2 grain. What about you, Jimmy John's? It's a firm head shake. No from Jimmy John's. How about three grain sub bread? Three is not enough. How about four grain? Who wouldn't want 4 grains? Jimmy John's, still a no. Let's go 5, 5, 6, 7, 8. Want to make it rain? 8 grain, Jimmy John's, still a no. All right, what about nine grain wheat bread?
Yeah, we'll take it.
That's Jimmy John's new 9 grain wheat subs. Going once, going twice, sold.
Try our new 9 grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat yeah, freak yeah.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce McCracken for the 2019 breeding season. A brilliantly talented son of the great Ghost Sapper, McCracken recorded a dominant, undefeated two-year-old campaign, culminating with a sensational win in the Grade II Kentucky Jockey Club. A multiple graded stakes winner and track record setter at three, McCracken retires as the only two-year-old graded stakes winning colt by his elite sire, Ghost Sapper. Beautifully balanced from a deep female family, McCracken has everything it takes to be an important sire. Airdrie Stud's McCracken. Think about it.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence.
A three-horse race as they turn for home in the big one. Hard spun, but Curlin is breathing down his neck. Street Sense literally scraping the paint, but Curlin strikes the front, and Curlin is powerhousing home. Hard spun, Street Sense did not go on, and it's all Curlin. Of the year for Horse of the Year, it's Curlin in an absolutely stylish performance. Curlin and Robbie Alvarado win it easy to Hartsbun. Awesome Jen ran on late for third.
Trevor Denman with the call. Curlin splashing his way to victory in 2007 at Monmouth Park. He took the Breeders' Cup Classic under journeyman jockey Robbie Alvarado. Robbie now being represented by young Jake Romans, the son of trainer Dale Romans, 22 years old. He has turned his attention to being a jocks agent, not just for Robbie, but for Channing Hill as well. And it is time for our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. And this week's Industry Star is indeed Jake Romans, who joins us now. Jake, congratulations and well done, my friend.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. And come on, you get to represent a guy like Robbie Alvarado at 22 years old. What's that like?
No, it's very exciting. That was a nice clip you played when I came on. I wish I had him back then.
You were handicapping on HRRN back then.
Yeah, no, I was betting on him.
Well, you have to find him a Breeders' Cup Classic winner this year.
Yeah, that might be a little difficult. I'll see what I can do, though.
Okay, so you get Robbie Alvarado, and you represent Channing Hill as well. Two guys that are top-notch. Talk about what it's like representing both of those guys.
Well, it's exciting. I can say that. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I'm lucky to have the opportunity that I have. Channing gave me my first shot back at Keeneland, and we did pretty good. And I picked up Robbie at Ellis, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Well, you certainly have the earmarks of a good agent. You're an excellent handicapper. You have a tremendous personality. And it doesn't probably hurt you at all that your dad has some horses that you can hustle once in a while. But
definitely doesn't hurt.
But, you know, I mean, if anybody was cut out to be a jocks agent, I think that would be you.
Yeah, it's just basically the same stuff I've been doing my entire life. You know, I'm just now I'm getting paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
So what led to this decision, Jake? When did you decide this is what I want to do?
Well, I went to culinary school at Sullivan in Louisville, and I got out, graduated, and I started working at a restaurant for a few months, and I realized that is not what I wanted to do. So I've always loved horse racing. Always liked the barn, so I started working for my dad, and I decided that there's not enough money working on the backside, you know. So my next step was to try an agent. So far, it's been a pretty good journey.
Yeah, and you had another longtime agent who was a good friend of the family that helped you out, too. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right. Richard DePass, he's Louis Saez's agent, one of the best agents in the country. And before I started, I asked him if he could show me around, teach me some stuff, and that's exactly what he did. And he still kept me under his wing.
That's a feather in your cap that you're willing to ask people and try different things. And, you know, a lot of people would just go get themselves a condition book in the office and grab a pen from somebody and become an agent. But, you know, you take the time to learn the craft and you know, find some ins and outs and things you can do to improve yourself. And I think that's great.
Well, I definitely know I still have a lot to learn. So
Yeah, you're not old enough to be super crafty like some of those guys, like having two books, one for the good trainers and one for the trainers that don't win as much, all that stuff.
He will after this show.
Yeah,
he's going to get one as soon as he's done here.
Yeah.
Well, Jake, what's the goal here moving forward? Where do you see yourself in a year, 2 years? What do you want to do?
To be honest, I'm not really sure. I do want to stay in the horse business. I really like it. I enjoy it a lot. I don't know what I'm going to end up, doing long term in this business, but we'll just take it a day at a time and see what happens.
All right. He is Jake Romans, the 22-year-old son of trainer Dale Romans, and he is now a jocks agent for Robbie Alborado and for Channing Hill, and he's doing a great job. And as you heard him say, a lot to learn, but he is learning very quickly, and you're going to hear a lot more from Jake Romans, who is our industry star of the week here on this Saturday morning. Jake, really appreciate it, my friend. Congratulations on this honor, and we'll look forward to seeing you here at Keeneland.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Jake Romans. By the way, Stuart Morris, if you're going to be looking for a good horse and your next stakes winner, the Stuart Morris consignment, as he says, he hangs his shingle just about everywhere east of the Mississippi. When you're at a major horse sale, stop by and see Stuart. Tell him you heard about the industry star of the week. This was his idea, and it's a way to recognize people that are doing great things in the sport, kind of behind the scenes like Jake is doing.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. Stuart came up with a winner there, and he comes up with winners all the time. He's a wonderful fellow, and you should stop by. Even if you don't have the money to buy a horse, stop by and talk to him, because you will be entertained. He's really got a lot of insight and a great guy.
You brought back a great memory, too. I had forgotten about Jake being part of our kid capping event that we did years back. I think it was for the Breeders' Cup, right?
Yeah.
And Jake was handicapping as part of that.
Yeah.
Jane Motion.
Abby Huffman.
That's right.
Was one of our handicappers. That was a lot of fun. That was great.
Yeah, it was cool.
They were all just kids, like 10, 11, 12 years old. So.
Yeah, we might have to look at bringing that back. That was a lot of fun. That was cool. And look at where these kids are today.
Yeah,
all because of kid capping here on HRN.
There you go. You got to start somewhere.
Taking full credit. All right, we're going to go ahead and get to a very quick 10-second station ID. When we come back, Sal Sinatra will join us from Laurel. He'll tell you about the big day there. And coming up later in the second half of the show is Rick Hammerly, the racing secretary at Santa Anita, to talk about their big afternoon. That's all ahead right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy
from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence.
Robert Bruce, who's charged up to the lead. It's Robert Bruce. Robert Bruce has won the million.
Justified from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on a very busy morning, talking about all the Breeders' Cup win in your in action around the country. Belmont, Santa Anita, big day at Laurel in Maryland, too. We're going to talk with Sal Sinatra, the president of the Maryland Jockey Club, in just a moment, right after we remind you that you only are 34 days, 6 hours, and 17 minutes away from that Breeders' Cup, and we'll be there as your exclusive radio home here on HRRN. The only place you'll hear the Breeders' Cup is with us here on the network. More than 15 hours of Breeders' Cup week coverage coming your way, actually probably closer to 20 by the time we wrap it all up. And you can head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out a complete road to the Breeders' Cup schedule and, of course, Breeders' Cup week as well. Quick reminder that you can tune in this afternoon, 5 Eastern, 5 to 8:30 Eastern, as a matter of fact, for coverage of the big races at Belmont and at Santa Anita. 3.5 hours here on the network, and that coverage coming your way, Sirius XM 93, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And Jude, very busy show so far. Maggie Wolfendale in the first half of the show, along with Ben Huffman from Keeneland and Churchill Downs. And if folks missed any portion, they can just go to our site, get the podcast after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern. And looking forward to our next interview as well with our man, Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club. Sal, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Everything is good. How are things up in Maryland?
Beautiful. Sun's out for a change, and we'll be fast and yielding, I'm going to say, for the two big races.
That's great. Great news. We've missed so much turf racing this year, and you've got just a couple of really nice races today. I was certainly hoping that they would be able to stay on the grass, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, we got lucky yesterday with sun, and you know the first one goes off around 3:30 Eastern today, so it's going to be a little soft out there, but they'll get around it fine. It'll be safe, so I'm glad they're staying on.
Yeah, and the big one, the $200,000 Baltimore-Washington International Turf Cup. Sal, I remember last year talking with you about this race and, you know, talking about the race formerly known as the DC International, and you said, hey, we really want that race back. We want to build this into something special. Where are we with this race now?
Well, we're still talking. I got corporate coming from Maryland Million next week. I have a couple meetings with a couple of embassies. I got some interest from D.C., so we're hoping next year we have, the inaugural return of it. Just some internal, trying to figure out how we coordinate this race. Are we trying to be a grade one? Are we trying to be a D.C. and try and get some of these smaller countries involved? It's just a philosophical way we're going to go with this race. But that's how actually the three-year-old race was born this year with the other race because, this time of year, the three and up long on the turf is very saturated. So, if we want to be a really, really nice race, it's going to be tough to compete with New York and everybody else that already has them. However, that three-year-old race stuck out like a sore thumb because there was room on the calendar for it. And that was very well received today. I mean, that's a nice field we got.
Yeah, the Bald Eagle Derby. It's a fantastic field. You've got one of the winners of the Canadian Triple Crown races, the Breeders' Stakes in Neepawa, and Channel Cat's in there for Calumet Farm. He looks like he's developing fast for Todd Pletcher. You've got Ammerman Racing and Chad Brown bringing admission office in. I mean, it's a really strong field. I was so delighted to see that people responded to it. There's a lot of three-year-olds that would like to run in a race like this, but there's really nothing available against their own age group.
No, and I got criticized back when I was at Parks with the Derby Cotillion, after September running three-year-old races, but you got to move with the times. These horses don't run that often, and I think owners and trainers would like to stay with their own kind for as long as they can.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think it's a great option for horsemen, especially at this point on the calendar, as you said, Sal. I want to go back to the DC International for just a minute because you referenced the fact that, trying to maybe attract horses from other countries and trying to partner with other countries on this. For people that don't know what we're talking about when we discuss the DC International, this was one of the premier turf races that we had in the sport for many, many years. Take us through some of the history of the DC International, Sal.
Sure. Mr. Shapiro, his brainchild. He actually went to all the major events around the world and hustled and paid for parties and everything else to get horses from countries such as Russia, Poland, these smaller countries that some people don't even realize have horse racing. And then you obviously have Europe and America, and it was a really prestigious race. It was a gala event here for the entire week. And when Tim Redfield and I got here at the end of 14, I told the fans, can you bring back the DC International? Can you bring it back? Well, the race kind of tailed off when Breeders' Cup was born because they became the world championship of races, and they kind of, I don't want to say killed the race, but they kind of lost its luster on the calendar and faded away. I think we can bring it back to some extent, possibly be a Breeders' Cup prep someday. Who knows? But I think it's really important to try and get these other countries. And with DC being so close to Laurel, be able to talk to embassies and try and get them and their jockey clubs excited about it is really what we're trying to do.
And you have a man like Frank Stronach that that gives the greatest parties in horse racing. So it could be a really good mix.
I think so. And, you know, it's all about, you know, trying to entertain folks when they come and, you know, different cultures, food, colors, whatever. I really think it would be a really nice thing to have here in the, in the Washington, D.C. Area.
Maybe pick up a couple of Austria breads, Sale.
There we go. Sure. A couple somewhere, right?
I think Mr. Stronach would be very happy if we could have an Austrian bread in the D.C. International. And, you know, you look back, sure. You mentioned that history, but you look back at some of the names that have won that race, and they're some of the most storied names that we've seen in racing, like Sir Ivor and Fort Marcy and Dahlia, for example. Mm-hmm. Even more recently, Paradise Creek, for example, in 94 with Pat Day for Bill Mott. So many top horses that have come through that race, and it would be great to see it get back to that level again, or at least close to that level.
Yeah, we'd like it. And that's kind of how the three-year-old race got named. I mean, Georgia went through the book to see who won the DC International, and Bald Eagle actually won it 2 years in a row. And ironically, when we were trying to name the race and she came up with that horse, the rider had just passed within like 48 hours. Manny Yaskua rode that horse twice.
Oh, wow.
So I said, this is an home, and that's the name of that race. So that ended up there.
Meant to be.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
All right, Sal, outside of that race and the Bald Eagle today, tell us what else folks can expect when they tune into that Laurel Racing later this afternoon.
Well, I took the two Maryland bred stakes off the turf to preserve it for the two races, but they should hold really well. Those horses are going to be prepping for Maryland Million in October, so I would imagine they'll run. We have non-winners of a sweepstakes, so minor stake as well, and pretty decent-sized fields. I'm expecting a pretty good crowd today just because the sun's out and people are probably stir-crazy at this point.
Yeah, no kidding.
The racing should be competitive, and hopefully everybody gets around this turf course on the soft course good, but those are really good races today.
And no doubt about it, Sal Sinatra with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He is the president of the Maryland Jockey Club. Sal, you mentioned Maryland Million. We're going to be on site at Laurel to bring folks that coverage later in October. Just look ahead to that event for a minute. Talk about what that day means to Maryland.
That's our celebratory day. It's Maryland, you know, recognizing the racing industry. It's for Maryland sired, Maryland bred type horses. But we do get a lot of dignitaries here. We do get a lot of, you know, governor and such. And we really just throw just a genuine Maryland party. You know, this year we're adding a concert, hopefully to get 10,000 younger people out in the clubhouse turns called Clubhouse Fest. And I'm expecting we would get, you know, 15,000 to 20,000 people. We're hoping to get 25,000 to 30,000 this year, so. We're really looking forward to that event. That's why I said corporate's coming in next week for the next 3 weeks. It's all hands on deck to make sure we pull this off nice.
Yeah, and Jim McKay, Maryland Million Day here in 2018 takes place October 20th. And again, you'll hear that coverage right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network live from Laurel that day in our very first broadcast. And look, we've been doing this 15 years now. It'll be our first time broadcasting from Laurel Park in Maryland. And Sal, that means an awful lot to us. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm anxious to show the place off because you haven't been here, so you can see a lot of the renovations we've done in preparation to hopefully host the Breeders' Cup in the future and just to get Laurel back to where it was on the racing calendar and map.
All right, Sal Sinatra with us here on HRRN. Sal, always appreciate the visit. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that out to you. Before I let you go, we threw out a poll question this morning that people are voting on our Twitter feed at HRN, and the poll question was pretty simple. What is your preferred way to bet a horse race? And we gave people four choices, pick three, pick fours, or pick fives. Exacta, Trifecta, Supers, or Win, Place, and Show. And then the fourth category was Other, if somebody likes to bet it a different way. How about for you? If you're going to bet on a horse race, what's your favorite way to do it?
Mine is a vertical bet. So I like to go race by race with Exactas and Trifectas, Supers.
Show off. Some of us aren't good enough to do it that way, Sal.
I'm not either. So
Sal, appreciate the visit, bud. Have a good day and enjoy this outstanding afternoon of racing.
Thank you, guys. Look forward to seeing you next month.
All right. Sal Sinatra here on HRRN. And, you know, we talk about the win in your in action and all the grade one races at Belmont and at Santa Anita taking place today. But that those races at Laurel are rock solid.
Oh yeah, they're excellent. You know, since I am the voice of Maryland racing now,
pretty much. Yeah.
Every
don't tell Dave Rodman that he is not going to be happy to hear you use that title.
Well, it's a, it's a self-given title. It means nothing. But I do all the spots for Maryland racing and, you know, they have fantastic cards almost every weekend. I mean, granted, some of the stakes are, you know, not the big, big purse money that you see, but they draw nice fields, a lot of 75 added, a lot of $100,000 races. And those races are important. They're solid horses, and the people in Maryland are loyal fans. They have a tremendous history of going to the races there and enjoying horse sports in general. So I'm very proud of the fact that that Maryland's doing so good, and I'm looking forward to the Breeders' Cup at Laurel Park.
Right, still to come here on the show this morning, you're going to hear from Rick Hammerly, the racing secretary at Santa Anita, as we take a look at their huge afternoon of win and you're in racing. Also, our Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales. Jude and I will take a look at tomorrow's Grade One Zenyatta Stakes at Santa Anita in that particular segment, and he and I will share our thoughts on some of the other top contenders in the races at both Santa Anita and Belmont later today. I mentioned that poll question to Sal. Here's the way the voting is going so far, and again, you can weigh in on our Twitter feed at HRN Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook as well. So far, it's very, very tight, actually. 35% of the vote coming in for pick threes, pick fours, and pick fives. So most people liking to play the races that way. 33% saying exactas, tries, and supers, and 28% voting for the win, play, show option. I personally, Jude, am a trifecta guy, so that's where I fall. I'd be in that middle category. I love playing trifectas. I don't think I'm clever enough to string together three or four or five winners for some reason. It just doesn't do it. I'm usually out after the first leg, and that really ticks me off.
Well, that would be a reason not to bet those.
It's true. I mean, it happens more often than not. I very rarely hit those bets, but I can do pretty well and hold my own by playing exactas and trifectas. So for me, that's where I fall. I know you're probably more of a multi-race type of guy, right?
Yeah, I play the pick four and pick three, but most of the time I'm a win and place guy. I always believe that if you like a horse, you should bet him somehow straight first, and then fool around with the exotics as a supplement.
Yeah,
I've cut way back on the exotics since the prices of the bets have gone down, because it kind of dilutes the pools. So. Yeah, I think, you know, on a consistent basis, when you play horses as often as I do, I think you got to take your best shots.
There is nothing more disheartening than going deep in the first leg of a pick three or pick four, using a bunch of horses and being out after the first leg. It's just so it does. It just takes all the wind out of your sails. You don't even want to bet anymore.
I remember when the pick six...
Especially when you would have hit the trifecta if you played the trifecta in that race instead of screwing around with multi-race wagers.
That's right. Well, you got to know your strengths.
I got to compose myself again now. I'm getting flashbacks to Saratoga. Brutal. Yeah. Brutal. All right. Let's see. It is time now for your weekly Blood Horse news update and our look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Here's a good one for you. It took place yesterday at Santa Anita. Stormy Liberal wins another photo in the Eddie D Stakes. If there's a turf sprint in Southern California and Stormy Liberal is entered, good luck to everyone else. Yeah, it doesn't matter if the six-year-old Stormy Atlantic gelding is going in a 5-furlong dash at Del Mar or an about 6.5-furlong race down the hillside turf course at Santa Anita Park. If it's a sprint and it's on the grass, odds are that Rockingham Ranch and David Burnson's Stormy Liberal will be in contention late. And if it's close, Stormy Liberal is going to get his head in front in a photo. From his last 10 start sprinting on the turf in Southern California, since trainer Pete Miller claimed the gelding for $40,000 in October of 2016, Stormy Liberal has won 8, including another photo finish victory in the $100,000 Grade 3 Eddie D Stakes yesterday at Santa Anita. Of those 8 wins, 6 have been by a neck or less. Think about that. Remarkable. The 2 times he was beaten, he finished 2nd. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, just head over to bloodhorse.com. And don't forget that you can now use your Amazon Alexa devices to listen to the Blood Horse Daily feature stories. Blood Horse Daily has the latest racing, breeding, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay, videos, and more. It's free and available via PDF, email, phone app, and now Audible via Amazon Alexa devices. Visit bloodhorse.com/daily. How good is Stormy Liberal?
Oh, he's a fantastic horse.
Yeah, great. I love that story. Talented. Yeah, just outstanding. Congrats to him and to all the connections there on that huge win at the Great Race Place yesterday. All right, we'll get to another break. We'll come back. Your Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales is next. And still to come, Rick Hammerly from Santa Anita. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Strategize, analyze, select. Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, free pass performances, live video, race replays, and more. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Join Keeneland Select today and earn a $150 sign-up bonus at KeenelandSelect.com. Dedicated to the sport and dedicated to the players.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry. For over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first thoroughbred yearling show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from 4 continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have 4 legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Zenyatta, if she wins this, she'll be a super horse. She's starting to pick them off, though. Zenyatta going to hook to the outside. Meanwhile, it's Colonel John, Summer Bird in the red cap. And Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Ponti on the inside. Summer Bird is right there. This is unbelievable! Zenyatta, what a performance! One we'll never forget. Looked impossible, but it is Zenyatta. Gio Ponti second, Summerbird, and then Richards Kidd. What a dramatic performance. One of the most sensational ever. Zenyatta wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, pretty remarkable indeed. Trevor Denman bringing them home in the 2009 running of the Breeders' Cup Classic. We were there. We brought you that coverage here on the network, and what a privilege it was. Zenyatta, so brilliant. And now tomorrow we remember Zenyatta with a race, a grade one race, named in her honor at Santa Anita. Abel Tasman, 2-5 on the morning line in that Zenyatta for Bob Baffert, Mike Smith, and a deserved favorite in that race. And we're going to talk more about that race in just a second, right after we remind you that this is indeed your Philly Focus segment presented by Paramount Sales, taking a look at one of the top Philly races of the weekend. And in this case, it is the Zenyatta. Paramount Sales, your home for unbelievable racehorses. If you're in the market for a racehorse, if you're looking to consign maybe your top Philly to a sale, you want to give the folks at Paramount Sales a call. Pat Costello, his entire team, they do a great job. And you can go to ParamountSales.net to learn more. All right, JT, what do you think? That Zenyatta tomorrow, is it Abel Tasman and everybody else? Or is there somebody that could be lurking in the weeds as an upsetter?
Yeah, I think it's probably Abel Tasman and everybody else. You know, talked to Bob Baffert yesterday, and he was mentioning that some of his horses we're getting sick in the barn. He was a little worried about that, so maybe that's why he put Vale Dory in there too, just to ensure that he has somebody to run. I mean, he didn't say anything about any particular horse being sick, but he was very concerned about the fact that horses at this time of year at Santa Anita, they come from all over the place, and the weather changes. It goes from, you know, being real hot in the afternoon to very cool in the morning, and a lot of horses don't handle that. So that was a concern of his for the whole weekend, I guess. He's got a lot of horses running, and he's worried about it. So you know, there's always a chance that the favorite can get beat, but she's been very impressive this year. She's had a tremendous year. She's an outstanding filly. As you were playing the Zenyatta clip, I was thinking, you know, the horse that resembles Zenyatta the most in this race is Abel Tasman. So I would think she's the one to beat for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, look, I mean, she doesn't need to win this race to go to the Breeders' Cup Distaff. It's a win and you're in for the Distaff division. But Abel Tasman has already punched her ticket to that race a couple of times. It'd be kind of nice if she let somebody else win their way to the Distaff, right?
Well, that's not really how it works, but I guess it would be thoughtful of her.
Well, I mean, look at what she's done, right? She won the Ogden Phipps at Belmont back on June 9th. That was a win in your end for the Distaff. She came back, took the personal ensign at Saratoga, win in your end for the Distaff. If she wins this one, she'll be a three-time qualifier for that race. And again, she doesn't need to. She's going anyway. She'll look to avenge that second place finish last year, and we'll see if she can pull it off, but she has to get by this race and then, all things being equal, get to Churchill Downs. Is she the leading contender in that Distaff division now?
She's one of them, I guess. I mean, I think that division's a little bit wide open. You know, you gotta try to figure out who exactly is going to go in that race. But I
think Monomoy Girl.
Yeah.
Midnight Bisou. Yeah. How about that race last weekend? I know we're getting off topic with the Zenyatta, but we're talking about fillies.
Yeah, but I mean, those two they're nice fillies, but they're 3-year-olds, you know, and they're going to have to face older. And we've talked about this before, but that's a big step up. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, it doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference, I think.
Yeah.
So
what did you think of that decision last week? To disqualify Monomoy Girl and put Midnight Bisou up?
I think I would have left it alone. A lot of people were saying, you know, that Mike Smith was forced to change lanes. I don't think he was forced to change lanes. I think he changed lanes, and he went to a better path than he did if he would have stayed down inside. The track was definitely favoring horses running on the outside. You know, I think they could have gone around another time and she wasn't going to get by Monomoy Girl, but that's just my own personal opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was going by her. When I first saw it, I was like, oh no, she's not coming down. And then when I saw the head on and I saw her drift out, she came out a good, you know, five pass or so, and the margin of victory wasn't that much, and Midnight Bisou was gaining with every stride. I thought she was going past her, you know, pretty easily.
I don't think Midnight Bisou was gaining with every stride.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Oh, I think she was.
I still think that it was the fact that Mike Smith switched lanes that got Monomoy Girl taken down. It really didn't have any effect on the result of the race. That was my opinion.
You know, that sets up a great showdown in the distaff. Now they both go in the showdown. We'll get them in a Kentucky Oaks rematch, right? And you remember that was a day where Midnight Bisou did not have the best of breaks. Mike Smith almost came out of the saddle, made a run. She wasn't gonna get to Monomoy Girl that afternoon. You get Wonder Gadut, right? Maybe back in the mix there too. She finishes third in that race. Don't know if she's quite that caliber with a Monomoy Girl or a Midnight Bisou. I'm not sure she's quite up to that task, but she ran well.
I mean, I think, you know, Monomoy Girl's proven to be the best of that division by far.
Put it this way. If you had a Monomoy Girl, Abel Tasman, right? You had to pick one of those two.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you going with?
I probably would pick Abel Tasman because she's older.
Yep.
And I think Dream Tree might be the best 3-year-old filly in training. I think she might be better than Monomoy Girl. I don't know what's going on with her. They're going to sell her and all this stuff. But I mean, she was impressive when she came back. She's a really good filly, but that's neither here nor there. I don't know where she's going to run. Probably in the filly and mare sprint, I think, Dream Tree.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I would always tend to go with the older horse unless there was a reason to really, make the 3-year-old favored by virtue of like ridiculously high speed figures or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. Well, how about we're talking about Abel Tasman. This is the Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales. What do you do with the late? Right, that was a controversial decision in the personal ensign. What do you do with late?
Am I wrong in that I heard she wasn't running?
Oh, is that true?
I hadn't heard that.
Is that true? Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Now you know what you do with a late. You do nothing with a late.
Right.
All right. Eskimo Kisses. Is she good enough?
No.
Throw that name at you.
No.
No.
No. No.
All right.
She's a ham and egger. That's what Michael Salfino would say on his podcast.
All right. Well, that is your Philly Focus presented by Paramount Sales for this morning. Again, paramountsales.net is your place to go. And if you are looking to consign a Philly, maybe it's in November or one of the sales coming up, then make sure you get a hold of Pat Costello and his team because they do just an amazing job. And we'll talk about some of the top Philly races over the next few weeks in this particular segment here on the show as we get you set for the Breeders' Cup Distaff, which is going to be, as you just heard, a really, really good race. Rick Hammerly, just a few minutes away. Jude, this gives us a little time to talk about one of my favorite restaurants in the whole world, maybe my favorite of all time, and that is Tony's of Lexington. And if you're in town, coming to town next week for the horse sale, or for the Keeneland meet, then you want to make sure you stop in and have an amazing dinner at Tony's of Lexington. It's here in downtown. I promise you, it will be maybe the greatest steak dinner that you have ever had. The fish is, well, from what I'm told, is really, really good. I don't eat fish, so I couldn't tell you. But my wife, the Baroness, loves the sea bass. So, yeah, the fish is good.
You can't see bass every night. You shouldn't see bass at all.
Right. Wow. That's brutal.
That's a George Burns line. Nobody remembers George Burns, even though he lived to be over 100 years old.
Yeah. Guy walks into a doctor, says, "Doctor, I don't know what to do. One minute I feel like a teepee, next minute I feel like a wigwam." Doctor says, "Oh, don't worry about it. You're just too tense." One of the dumbest jokes ever.
That's great. I love that.
All right, so the reason
takes
I bring
two
up
floors to make a story.
Oh, here we go. All right, back to Tony's for a minute here. The reason I bring up Tony's of Lexington is because if you will be here in the area on this coming Wednesday night. You want to make sure you stop by. Jude and I will be there for a very special fundraising event for the Grayson Jockey Club. You can get details by going to grayson-jockeyclub.org. And the event starts at 6 o'clock, so you want to be there a few minutes before. We're going to be joined by trainers Ken McPeak, Ben Colebrook, and I believe Wayne Catalano, and then our good friend Steve Castagnola will be there to handicap the races. And what we're going to do, we'll interview those trainers, we'll talk to them about the contenders they have in their races coming up on Fall Stars weekend here at Keeneland, and then we'll preview those races, and we'll talk about them and tell you who we like, we'll tell you who those trainers like, and you know, we'll go from there. But it should be an amazing event. It's all for charity for a great cause. 6 o'clock this coming Wednesday here at Tony's of Lexington, right in downtown Lexington, and it all benefits the Grayson Jockey Club. Grayson-jockeyclub.org is where you can get information and get your tickets.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Great place to hang out and have a few cocktails, and Lord knows you can get that great material that we just previewed right there.
Yeah, that's right, too.
We're here all week, folks.
All right. Well, on that note, we will get to a quick commercial break here, and then we'll come back and be joined by Rick Hammerly, the racing secretary at Santa Anita. He'll preview their big day. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Kentucky Derby winner Orb was the leading freshman sale sire of weanlings, yearlings, and two-year-olds. On the track, his runners have scored on both dirt and turf, including stakes winners Autumn Warrior and Orbolution, stakes performer Scrapper, and TDN rising star Explorer. In the sales ring, his progeny continue to sell well beyond his stud fee, including the $1 million co-sale topper at Saratoga. Classic winner, classic pedigree, Orb. Standing at Claiborne Farm.
Stuart Morris offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation and would like to thank their owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you.
Henley's Joy gets up just in time.
Then our Brain Trust gets up on the rail to win.
Malagasy to win the Rebel.
With 10 two-year-old winners already in 2018 and multiple stakes place horses over the past 3 years, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Be sure to visit the Stuart Morris consignment in barn 35 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale.
Today is Class on the Grass Day at Laurel Park. Enjoy the Grade 3 Baltimore-Washington International Turf Cup, the Bald Eagle Derby, and four additional stakes. And while you're here, savor some barbecue at the Smokehouse on the Apron and sip your favorite regional libation at the Crossover Bar. First post is 1:10 p.m. We'll see you at Laurel Park. For more information, visit laurelpark.com. That's laurelpark.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
McKenzie holding on. Axelrod is full out. McKenzie is clear as they come down to the finish. Baffert, Smith, McKenzie, they've done it. McKenzie has it by two.
McKenzie returned from a six-month layoff to win the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby this past weekend, earning a buyer speed figure of 107, the co-highest route buyer figure of a three-year-old this year, equaled only by Triple Crown winner Justin. That Grade 1 win makes McKenzie your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Kentucky Derby. McKenzie's victory in the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby comes on the heels of a great Keeneland September sale, where Street Sense averaged $200,000 from 44 horses sold, including two yearlings selling for $800,000, his most expensive yearlings yet. Learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence.
5-16 to go in the Goodwood, and Score Quick is running the race of his life out here. But Free House up alongside, Silver Charm on the outside. Three of them swing for home together. Score Quick on the inside, Free House between them, and Silver Charm. And now here it is, Silver Charm and Free House, but Silver Charm has his measure with a 16th to go. And Silver Charm, the superstar that we know, is back in the Goodwood. And it's going to be Silver Charm to win by two from Free House.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence. Here on this 29th day of September, we are in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Trevor Denman, a little old school call for you there. The 1998 running of the Goodwood Breeders' Cup Handicap, and Silver Charm and Free House with another showdown. Silver Charm getting the best of his rival again that afternoon. And that race is now known as the Awesome Again Stakes, and it takes place later this afternoon at the Great Race Place in Arcadia, California, part of a massive day of racing on the West Coast. And to help us look at those races now and figure it all out is our good friend Rick Hammerly, the racing secretary at Santa Anita. Rick, good morning. Thanks for being up early.
Good morning, guys. Not too bad. It's not too early because we are running. So I had to make the call whether to stay home an extra hour or get up an extra hour early and get to the track. I stayed home. No. It's, you know, you can tell. You know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, oh, let's get there at 5 and all that stuff. But I'm in my friendly confines in my little office garage. And, you know, what's funny is I'm waiting. I hear that call. And I'm thinking to myself, the Goodwood? What's the Goodwood? Click in. We're so famous here for renaming races out here in California. For a split second, I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't remember Silver Charm winning some race called the Goodwood. But as you explained, that used to be when we were running under the auspices of the Oak Tree Racing Association up until about 6, 7, 8 years ago. The Goodwood was the Breeders' Cup Prep race, and now, as you have mentioned, it's called the Awesome Again.
So, yeah, and the first
same
of
race, different name.
The first of 5 victories in this particular race for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. That equals him with the great Charlie Whittingham, and he has a great opportunity to surpass Charlie and stand alone atop that list later today, doesn't he?
You know, he does, and I will tell you, Bob is a little bit closer to the vest than he used to be as far as running his horses. And about 3 weeks ago, actually, when the book came out, so the first condition book came out in early September, about a week later, I was out at Clocker's Corner, and he calls me over, and he goes, hey, you know, can you do me a favor? I said, oh, here we go. I need a race. I said, okay, what kind of race? I need a race for West Coast. I'm looking at him like, what, are you crazy? He just put up some allowance race for some, you know, horses of the year that haven't won a race in 6 months or something. So anyway, he was kind of joking a little bit. Like, I looked at him. So, you know, I was thinking where he was going to run, and I really didn't know he was going to go in this race. And I'll tell you, this horse running this race made this day, to tell you the truth. You know, otherwise we have Accelerate, which is great, number one horse in the country. But it was just what it's going to be a matter of how much is he going to win by. And by Bob putting this horse in, just kind of made the day. We've run him as a feature, and we have two legitimate horses, and it's kind of wild. We talked to John yesterday on Steve's show. I had him on with me, and you know, a little different situations here where John Sadler, we're talking about, has the number one horse going great. His job is just kind of keeping there, and he tried to let's train him up to the Breeders' Cup deal last couple of years, didn't work for him. And obviously this horse seems to like to run. So he's going in with the best horses. He just wants to keep his horse just level. Then you got Bob, who the horse hasn't run in 5, 6, 7 months. I mean, neither one of them have to win this race, but Bob's a little bit different where, you know, this horse needs to probably run real well to move on. And with Bob, as you know, Jude, there's no such thing as a prep race for him. When he puts them in, they're ready to roll and they're ready to win. But it's two interesting styles going in. And like I said, I think the horse made the day, made the race, and it's really going to be interesting to see how this race unfolds.
Yeah, it's a real intriguing race, and you know, got a chance to talk to both John Sadler and Bob Baffert yesterday, and John is never cocky or spouts off, but he did make mention of the fact that Accelerate's beaten Baffert quite a few times. that's about as cutting edge as John gets. And then Bob was saying, you know, he's a little concerned because his horse hasn't been out, and he's a hard horse to get ready because he's not exactly in tune with morning training. You know, he kind of takes after his trainer in the fact that he is a late riser and, you know, doesn't really care about the mornings that much. So Bob feels like he's got his work cut out for him, and John just feels like his horse beats Baffert like a drum. So it's going to be a cool little rivalry this afternoon.
I agree. I think Accelerate just on another little level right now, and you know, he's just going to run his race. He tested for him dipping back to a mile and an eighth, which is really no problem. It'll sharpen him up, and I think, you know, he'll carry the day. But West Coast will be there. You know, interesting enough, when you dig into West Coast and take a look at his PPs, you know, he's you know, obviously was the champion 3-year-old last year, beat up on the 3-year-olds. You know, he ran against older in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he did not win. And then he ran against olders in the Pegasus, and he did not win. And the same thing in Dubai. So, you know, he beat elders, way back when he won an allowance race. So he really hasn't proven himself yet against, you know, as a 4-year-old. So we'll see how it goes. But you can count on this. You know, he'll be after this race, if he runs a decent race, he'll definitely take a second look in the Breeders' Cup Classic, that's for sure.
Yeah, and here's another little Swami angle for you. If you are a West Coast fan, you think he wins off of this lengthy layoff today. His last three races that you just referenced, Rick, he was ridden by world-class Hall of Famer Javier Castellano. Javier couldn't win with him in the Breeders' Cup Classic, the Pegasus, or the Dubai World Cup. Ran well, but couldn't win. Switches back to Hall of Famer Mike Smith. He's a perfect 3-for-3 when Mike Smith is on his back. So if you're a fan of West Coast, good omen for you later today.
Yeah, that combination's clicked a little bit in the past.
I think that the Smith guy, I think he's going to be okay.
He might make it. Yeah, I'll say. I think he won a couple races yesterday coming back as well. You know what? What's really kind of funny is in my office behind me, I have a sign behind me that just says West Coast. And it's one of these kind of tattered up signs. I'm a sign guy, and then my wife got it for me like 4 or 5 years ago, and it just says West Coast, and it's behind me. It's got a little slant. I have it slant a little bit. It's not like straight across, and you know, it's kind of we're tilted to the west. And somebody came in yesterday, and they go, "Oh, you're a West Coast fan?" And I said, "Huh? What are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, you obviously like West Coast." And I'm thinking to myself, "What is this guy talking about?" Like, "Oh, geez, that's right. I got the sign behind me." So it's pretty funny. That it's been up there for 5, 6 years, and now here the horse is running, and it was just kind of ironic. But you know, we'll sit back and watch this one. And if you're involved in some of the gimmicks, of course you're going to bet. But I'm going to sit back and enjoy this one.
Rick, we have about 6 minutes or so before we have to get to a hard break toward the end of the program, so I want to make sure we talk about the other races too. Let's work backwards then and go to the race before the Awesome Again. That's the Grade 1 Rodeo Drive, race number 10, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 local is the post. Talk to me about that race for a minute.
Okay. The Rodeo Drive. I'm gonna tell a story that I tell just about every month on the other show. Phillies and mare division here. It doesn't matter if it's been a mile to a mile and a quarter, Grade 1, Grade 2, Grade 3. We have such an evenly matched bunch of fillies here that if you look back, they win once. They all got one stake win, and then they don't win again. So we haven't really had a double up. You know, if you look at Bo Recall, he got his win in the Royal Heroine. She did. Queen Blossom won the Santa Barbara. Basilica got hers last time. Sophie P won the Gainley. Cambodia won the Yellow Ribbon. They did seem to be taking turns here. No filly has really won two graded races in Southern California. It's pretty of a wild, wild deal. And I'm talking 10, 15 races. So on that angle alone, Paige steps in here as a three-year-old. She is going to like the distance. She's a two-time winner here at Santa Anita on the turf course. So on that angle alone, I'm going to take a real good look at her on the rail for Michael McCarthy. A good time for a three-year-old to step in here. She hasn't really broken through with the tough ones, but I think she's really going to like it here. Of the ones that have won, I mean, look at this claim by Jerry Holland or Vasilica, just right up the ladder. And I see no reason to step off of that boat. Just keep going. She went from a starter handicap, the March Madness that we run every year, and boom, right on through. So she just seems to have the perfect style. She's 5 for 6 winning on the turf at Santa Anita. She loves this place. And so I would use her as well. The one I'm watching out for is Sophie P, who won her grade one Gainley back here in May. Likes the track, and it looks like it might be coming up to her turn. So she's the one I'd watch out for. But Hollendorfer's on a roll with the V horse, and it's a nice little 8-pack in here though.
What about the Chandelier? We've got a bunch of fillies stretching out. You got any gut feelings there?
Yeah, you know, I got, as I'm fishing around for, here's the race. If there's going to be an upset,
it's race nine, Rick.
Races,
it's race
yeah,
nine.
You know, I got it. I know. I'm going backwards. I got all these notes. That's great. If there's going to be an upset here, I think this could be it. I they ran rather slow last time in the Demont Debutant. I know they all ran over the same track, and I don't know what it was, but the maiden in here, Delmore May, I don't know what intrigues me about her, but she was favored last time in the Sorrento and off a 2-1, got beat by Bellafina. I think she might be a little upset special in here, Delmore May. So look at her. Brill, who just threw in a total clunker, I think she's going to be overlooked in the wagering. Giroux comes in to ride for Hollendorfer, and I think she might be a little bit overlooked. Bellafina's going to be the overwhelming favorite in here, and as well she should be. A two-time graded winner. And then you have the, quote, other Baffert, Derlou, that I haven't heard a word about. No one said a thing about. Drayden Van Dyke stays with her, and look out. But I just got a weird feeling this race is not going to run as it looks like on paper. And the rider changes in here are just unbelievable. The first three horses in here, the first three fillies, are going to have three different riders in all three of their races. So a little bit of a toss-up there. But Van Dyke sticks with Derlou. And, could be a little upset there as well. But I smell something fishy in here. What do you guys think?
It certainly looks like it could be an interesting race. And, again, that's race number 9, the Chandelier. Rick, I'm going to put you in a 2-minute drill. We have 2 minutes before this hard break, and I do want to talk about the American Pharoah. So go ahead and hit me up with that race. I'll let you flip back. It's race number 6.
Got it. Thank you. I have a tab on that one. It's amazing that Hollendorfer and Jerry Hollendorfer and Bob Baffert, I mean, they've controlled the two-year-old racing here. So when they can each take their top Instagrad and Roadster and just say, you know what, we're going to pass this one and then still have the favorites for the race, it kind of shows you how deep they are. You got one horse in here, Gunmetal Gray, Gone Long.
Love him.
That really helps. It's tough for these guys to bet on a horse that you've never seen go long. So I give Gunmetal Gray a top look, even though he's never missed state competition before. Game winner didn't impress me live when I watched the race, but I went back and watched the film a couple times. Looked a lot better on film than I remember. So I think he's the real deal. So Game Winner and Gunmetal Gray are the two I like there. I see the Hollendorfer's other colt probably going out and trying to do the same thing he did last time by stealing it. And I tell you what, he ran a real game race down the stretch. He did not give it up. So if Roatan gets away on the lead, I think he's going to be a little tougher to run down this time.
Nobody better. He's Rick Hammerly, racing secretary at Santa Anita. Like all of our guests, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Rick, I appreciate it, my friend. Sorry we have to get to this break. We do have to wrap it up, but enjoy the day, and as always, go Steelers.
Go Steelers. Thanks, guys. You guys enjoy the day, too. Appreciate it.
All right. Rick Hammerly here on HRRN. Time for our monthly KTA KTOB spotlight segment before we do get to this final break and look ahead to what's coming up this afternoon on the network. But remember that the stature of Kentucky breads is ultimately gained on the racetrack. Kentucky leads all other states combined in number and percentage of stakes winners produced, nearly 75%. 75% of all grade one stakes winners in North America are Kentucky breds, including 10 of the 13 Triple Crown winners. Nearly 80% of gross auction sales in North America are accounted for by Kentucky breds. And no wonder that 90% of the leading 100 sires standing in North America stand in Kentucky. At the recently concluded record-setting Keeneland September sale, major buyers from over 20 countries came to Kentucky in search of future racing success. And at that epic sale, guess what? The leading sires by average all stand, yeah, you got it, in Kentucky. When the race is on the line, one thing is certain. It pays to breed and race in Kentucky. Visit KentuckyBred.org for more information. One final break. We'll come back and tell you what you can look forward to this afternoon here on the network. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Keeneland Select and Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Castleton Lions is home to Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting graded stakes place filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time grade one winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
World-class racing is back at Santa Anita, so be sure to join us early for a special 12 noon first post time on Saturday. We'll have four grade one win-and-you're-in Breeders' Cup rep races as part of a 12-race program, and come early for our Hall of Fame jockey and trainer autograph session at 10:30. Horse players, sign up now at santaanita.com for our opening weekend $500 handicapping challenge. Again, special early first post time Saturday is at 12 noon, Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. And Empire Maker yearlings averaged $400,000 at the Basic Tipton Saratoga sale.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Well, don't forget to join us this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern Time, as Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski bring you all the action of Breeders' Cup Challenge Day at Belmont Park and at Santa Anita. Coverage 5 o'clock to 8:30 Eastern Time, and you can tune in on Sirius XM Channel 93, and of course, stream us worldwide on our website. That's all at horseracingradio.net. So make sure you're locked into that coverage, and make sure you visit our website to check out a complete Fall Stars weekend schedule as we bring you coverage next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, presented by Red Brand Fence, as is this afternoon's coverage. And, of course, that road to the Breeders' Cup going to heat up for you here on the network, and we can't wait to bring it your way. So make sure you check it all out, horseracingradio.net. JT, before we wrap it up, quick results of the poll question. What is your preferred way to bet? Well, it looks like the pick threes, pick fours, and pick fives have it. 39% of the vote coming in.
Yeah, a lot of people are very tuned into those wagers and enjoy the multifaceted handicapping.
Our thanks to all of our guests for being with us here this morning. Maggie Wolfendale from NYRA, Ben Huffman from Keeneland and Churchill Downs, Sal Sinatra from the Maryland Jockey Club, and Rick Hammerly from Santa Anita, and of course our industry star of the week, young Jake Roman. It's been a very busy program, but been a lot of fun too, and Breeders' Cup Challenge, Breeders' Cup almost here.
Yeah, and if only Juju Bajan would have got out of bed.
Yeah, boy, nursing that hangover. All right, for our producer, Lee Delapina, for Sean C. Chauncey with our social media, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening, and of course, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.